I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of.
Yes, that makes me crazy. Oh, Clint makes me crazy. Hi, I'm back. Michael Herzog, second hour of the American Awakening with my special guest, Clint Richardson. Now, I'm going to open up the phone lines here in about the next 10, 15 minutes, but I want to make sure that everybody understands, and Clint gives a good breakdown of exactly what the term agency means. So, folks, again, you know, the old motto for Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth? Well, let's see if you can handle the truth. Clint, go ahead.
Well, as the Bible says, I am not your enemy for telling you the truth. Keep that in mind. When I talk about agency, keep in mind the word agent means attorney. Okay, so when I go to court and I say I am Clint Richardson, I've just assumed that I'm my own attorney. I'm appearing as the agent for service of process. In other words, the agent is the man appearing as the and representing the status or the person of the United States. That's why you have to distinguish between the man and the status, the man and the persona.
Right.
Okay. So the citizenship. I'm here representing the citizenship. When I say I am Clint Richardson, I've just put myself into that position. I can no longer get out of it. I've contractually said that I am acting as that person. But I can also appear in court and I can say, well, I'm the agent for service of process representing the status in question, and I can bring the birth certificate and I can say, you know, you're basically saying I'm the attorney for this person. Okay, there's a big difference between those two, because now you're not appearing as the person, you're appearing as the agent or attorney. All right? Now, what's important about that is what it means to be in this agentic relationship, because a status is like a rental car. Okay, when I go rent a car, I don't qualm about which law that car is under. I know that I have to follow not only the rental company rules per the contract, because I'm renting its car as an agent, right? I also have to follow the laws of the road, rules of the road, the DMV code, et cetera, everything that car is under it as far as the law. Well, there's the rental car and a status of a United States citizen is really not that much difference. I must follow the laws that attach to that commercial vessel, whether it's a vehicle or whether it's a person, a status, right? So the law is attached to the person, not the man. And that's why when you appear in court as an attorney, attorneys don't ever get in trouble for their clients now, do they?
No. And they'll always come out, even when you lose, the attorney will tell you in some way, shape, or form it was a victory, even if it was a small one because of X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, sure. Attorneys can't be persecuted for the statuses they represent. And that's why when you go to court, you should never go as you need to learn a lot. Like, there's a whole treatise on agency that you'd have to read and everything to really learn this. But when you go to court, if you appear as the agent, they don't know what the hell to do. If you know what you're talking about, you have the right language, because suddenly they can't control you. You're an attorney. They can't say you're in contempt of court because you're an attorney. You're the attorney. You're not the person. So anyway, let's go back to Milgram. Stanley Milgram in the 1960s, he did experiments to basically examine what they call the agentic relationship. Which means that I have an employee, employer, trustor, trustee, citizen, master, master, slave. All those are agentic relationships. An agent always has a principal, and the agent is always dealing or representing the principal in transactions with third parties. United States is a principal. I am the agent using its property or its status, and I'm dealing with states, which are third parties, because I'm foreign. Okay. The problem with this is when I'm a soldier or I'm a police officer, I have an agentic outlook on things, and here's what that means. By the end of his experiments, This is out of Harper's Magazine, titled The Perils of Obedience. And he stated, "The legal and philosophical aspects of obedience are of enormous importance, but they say very little about how most people behave in concrete situations. I set up a simple experiment at Yale University to test how much pain an ordinary citizen, i.e. agent, would inflict on another person simply because he was ordered to by an experimental scientist. Stark authority was pitted against the subject's or the participant's strongest moral imperatives against hurting others, and with the subject's ears ringing with the screams of the victims, authority won more often than not. In other words, a guy that was dressed up, he wasn't a doctor, but he pretended to be one, he played one on TV, right? He had a white coat on, and he said, you must press that button is going to inflict a stronger and stronger shock with every question that they get wrong. Until the point where you know you're at the point where you're going to kill this person, okay? Authority won more often than not. The extreme willingness of adults to go to almost any lengths on the command of an authority constitutes the chief finding of the study and the fact that most urgently demanding explanation. Ordinary people simply doing their jobs, i.e. their employees, which is an agent of a principal, of right. an employer, and without any particular hostility on their part, can become agents in a terrible destructive process. Moreover, even when the destructive effects of their work become patently clear, and they are asked to carry out actions incompatible with fundamental standards of morality, relatively few people have the resources needed to resist authority." Okay, that's a quote straight from Milgram in 1974. What is the resource? What is the resource that very few people have to resist authority? Well, all the elites through history will tell you that Bible reading people cannot be enslaved. You cannot be made into an agent if you understand that the very foundation of law, which says don't be an agent, don't be a person, don't be an employee, do not contract, do not do any of these things. In an American psychologist, it was said the two theories that this has to do with this, with the agentic relationship, which is what we are. The first is a theory of conformism based on Solomon Asch conformity experiments describing the fundamental relationship between the group of reference and the individual person. A subject who has neither ability nor expertise to make decisions, especially in a crisis, so under stress, will leave decision-making to the group and its hierarchy. In other words, we are patients of, which means victims of doctors. Right? The group is the person's behavioral model. Now, the second is the agentic state theory, wherein, per Stanley Milgram, the essence of obedience consists in a fact that a person comes to view themselves as the instrument for carrying out another person's wishes, and they therefore no longer see themselves as responsible for their actions. Once this critical shift of viewpoint has occurred in the person, all of the essential features of obedience follow.
You know,
ask yourself, why do they put soldiers, and for that matter, police officers, mm-hmm. through basic training? You tear down the man, you turn him into an agent.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to interject here because as you spoke this, the thoughts going through my head were not only with the police department and the military, but also the medical profession itself, and the immunity that they have with the pharmaceutical drugs and so forth, and also the IRS, because the IRS, the agents of the IRS, can strip people of their livelihood, strip them of everything they own, and as far as they're concerned, they're only doing their job. And this is right in the Internal Revenue Service manual, because yes, they go through a basic training as well as the soldier does. So it's fascinating, and it transcends through all facets of this, you know,
all of us are guilty of this. We all treat certain people differently than ourselves. Well, I'm a manager at my company. I'm a private, and you're just a corporal. We all treat each other by our status, not as gifts from God, essentially, but not as equals. Right now, this is important as well, because when they wrote the Declaration of Independence, they made a huge mistake. They said that the rights of man are unalienable. Okay, if that were true, The God-given rights of man are unalienable. If that was true, none of this could happen. There could be no contracts. There could be nothing. So what they did is they changed that. They said in the state constitutions, they said the rights of man are inalienable.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference between those two words, according to the courts, is that unalienable means your rights can never be taken or sold. Okay? But inalienable means that your rights, given by God, as they say, and it's important to know that okay, this is what government, I don't care if you believe in God, and the government especially would love for you not to believe in God, because the whole system is based on God. If you say, I'm an atheist, well, great, then you must be governed by man, because you cannot be self-governing under God, and those are the only two options you have. So you will always remain a slave to this system. Okay, that's important. That's not my opinion. That's government's opinion. That's what this whole system is based on. I'm not here to convince you that God exists. God's existence is literally the definition of existence. If you don't want to believe in existence, fine. Okay, that's what God is. That's how they define it. And the law of nature, therefore, is the law of existence. It's when you say stuff like I'm an atheist, it's actually so ridiculous. It's just that you've never been given the definition of what Jehovah is, what God is. So once you hear it, you realize that atheism is literally defined as the non-belief in the existence of existence. I don't believe in God, therefore I don't believe in existence. It's a ridiculous thing. It's a trick. And that means, again, those presidents have said this. If you are not governed by God, meaning the law of nature, then you will be governed by men, period. You must either be self-governing under the law of nature, or you must be governed by this system of law that we're talking about. And unfortunately, this kind of system always goes corrupt, and we get into democracy, and it always fails. And then there's a spiritual awakening, kind of like the title of your show, and then it all fails again after 200 and something years, just like every other empire in existence. And I start to think that that's a purposeful cycle. They know it's going to fail. So this goes back to, again, I am an agent for the United States. The United States is my principal. I have taken a status offered by the United States. I have sold my God-given rights. Therefore, I have no rights in nature. I have accepted false, artificial, corporate legal rights, legal meaning anti-God, according to a lot of authors, and I am now dealing with everything in an agentic relationship. In other words, when I go do business, when I put gas in my car, when I pick up the kids from school, I am acting in the agency of that doctrine of agency, the notion that everything I do is in commerce, in other words. Because I'm a foreigner, 100% of the time, I'm in an interstate commerce transaction, because it's not my land. I'm on a permanent monopoly board, and everywhere I step is someone else's land, whether it's government land, property of the United States, or whether it's the property of a private landholder, the bloodline. Either way, I'm stepping on someone's land. I'm always going to pay a tax. I might get a surprise. I might get the community chest, right? I might take a chance. I might become a millionaire. But I'm still a slave.
Let me stop you for a minute here, because you're really getting on a roll. I told the listening audience that I opened up the phone lines at 10 after the hour, after we got through with the definition of agency. And the phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. But let's take Laura in Michigan. Laura, how are you? Do you have a question for Clint?
Yes, I do. I want to go back to the preamble about the posterity. Okay. I believe that we started Genesis. There's a six-day creation, and then the eighth day, when God saw that he needed someone to tend the gardens and to be a farmer. So he created Eshadam, meaning the Adam that becomes ruddy in the face is a white man. So I think when the Founding Fathers, being very knowledgeable in the Bible, I believe that the posterity was for the Adamic race.
Okay.
Well, no, actually, I see it there again. You have to go back, and you have to understand. You have to understand what Adam means. Adam means human or mankind. Adam was not a singular person. Adam was a representation, an allegory, a metaphor for mankind, i.e. the common man. Adam fell. Okay, so we are a fallen people. When they call us mankind, they are calling us Adam. All right, so we have taken the fruit from the tree of knowledge, which means the concepts and lies of men, the creations of men over God. That is the allegory, that is the metaphor that you're supposed to take from that. The Garden of Eden, when you translate the word garden in the Bible in the concordance, it actually means prison. But the word prison in that case is a good thing, because it's actually protecting you from all of this fiction and all of these ways. You know, suddenly you're embarrassed. Suddenly you have to cover up with the fig leaf. And that has a whole other discussion. But you're talking about eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. There is no good and evil in nature. It doesn't exist. We create what is good and what is evil. And therefore, we have fallen from quote unquote nature or God. Because
well,
we respect
Adam meets man. There was a 6-day creation where the Adams, I'm talking about Eth Ha Adam, when you look at Strong's Concordance, he's a different person than just the Adam.
Yeah, but you have to understand, people don't like to hear this, but you have to take the Bible metaphorically. You cannot take it literally.
But that's why they got to get rid of us. They want to get rid of the Adamic race. That's what it is. People are talking about, oh, they're trying to get rid of. Because Eve, she had twins. One was sired by Adam, and one was sired by Satan in the garden. So that's where you got the Kenites, the offspring of Cain. You see? So we're the Adamic race from Adam to Seth, because obviously Cain killed Abel, so had to go through Seth. And we were going to be the race that umbilical cord to umbilical cord would eventually Jesus would come from. So we're altruistic. Look how we are. We love animals. We take care of things. We don't destroy. We're altruistic. So that's our Adamic line. And we try to make things right.
Okay, well, you're welcome to your own interpretation, I guess, but that is not how it is written in the concordances or in the Bible. And you have to understand that every word, this is what's so interesting about the Bible, is that every word, every name, right? You look at the words like Adam. Adam means mankind. It doesn't mean man, it means mankind. The human race. Human means sophist. So you look at the word Noah. It means to be at rest. You look at the Noah's three sons, which are Seth, Japheth, and what's the other one? Well, those do explain the three types of men. You have the angry, which is, I can't remember their names. I'm sorry. Seth actually means the tribe. Tribe doesn't mean anything like we think it does either. It means the tribe of the name, and that's what these people are. These are the tribe of the name. This is the bloodline. This is why the Bible says don't respect the name, don't respect the title, don't respect, it even says don't respect genealogy, because that means that you're actually putting the mind and heart of the father upon the son, which is impossible. It doesn't pass that way. The blood passes, but nothing else does. That's why you have one good king and one bad king, right? So it says don't respect fabled genealogies. Don't respect these things. That's the new law. What you're referring to is the old law. The Jewish law, in other words. The Babylonian law.
A lot of people don't want to read all the begats. I think if they read all the begats, they'd see where the line went and how it worked. And I think,
What you're saying about the white, what you call the white race, if you will, is a very true statement. However, in the Bible, we're called the gullible. Okay, that means we want to do good, but we're very gullible, we're easily tricked, and that's how we're referred to.
Okay, I got to interject here. I got to go to a break. Laura, thank you so much for your call. We got to take a break. We'll be back in 3. Alan in Texas, hold on. You're up next. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my special guest, Clint Richardson. Be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Now I got my bumper music going. I rock with that, boy. That invigorates me. So, got a couple of callers on the line. Mark in Philadelphia would be second up. Alan in Texas, you're up with Michael and Clint Richardson. How you doing? Hello, Alan in Texas.
That's me. Can you hear? Am I here?
Yes, you're
Hello.
Here. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yes.
Hey,
digitally speaking.
Go ahead.
How do I say this without using it against myself? I'm a air-breathing bipedal mammal with dangly hardware who only enjoys the intimate company of those with non-dangly hardware. And I love both you guys. I mean, Clint, both you and Michael have been a big part of my coming out of this stupor and trying to get a better idea of what's going on in the world around me. And I'm not blowing smoke up your butt, but I am giving you a compliment. You know, the thought processes that y'all have instilled that I listen to, and that y'all instilled it in me. I do a lot of thinking. I do a lot of listening. I do a lot of reading, and I thank you, Clint, for expressing what I cannot in a really straightforward, logical explanation of really what we're up against and what's been done to us, what is being done to us. And I'm glad to hear both of y'all on the air anytime I can. I miss both of you not being on the airwaves anymore. But
you are welcome, he with dangling hardware.
Like I said, I don't know if I can use man or woman or what anymore because they've weaponized everything against us. One question I do have is I've heard probably every possible explanation that everyone has. Everyone, you know, comes up and they've got remedy for, you know, through the court system and this and that. And, you know, I've got remedy. I know how to do it. You do this and you do that. Is there a remedy, Cliff, or is the whole thing just a game that's being played with us that they can change at any point that they want to? Is there actually any justice in the justice system anywhere at all?
The justice system or the Justice Department is an executive branch. That's where the Bar Association and everything else is. So, no, it's administrative purely. There is no real law. There's no actual third branch of government that affects any of us. We do not have constitutional rights, and we don't have the right of tort. So, in other words, no, there is no remedy. I'll put it to you this way, man, and you know, a lot of people have been turned off by my ultimate goal was to find the truth, and ultimately that necessarily led me to the understanding of the Bible. It had to, because it's, again, the foundation of law, and the legal books tell me that, right? So it's obvious once you see that. However, what I found is that through all these gurus offering you remedies, and what is Christ called? Christ is called the Redeemer.
Mm-hmm.
That means if you follow Christ, you will be redeemed from the law. The law in the Bible is a very bad, bad word, unless you're talking about the natural or self-evident law, the written law. How do you be redeemed from the law through Jesus Christ? That is a metaphor meaning follow Christ, follow the law of God, follow the law of nature. Do not add anything unto your name, which is what we do through the birth process and everything else. So your question can be answered very simply. Have you seen the movie The Matrix?
I have, and I've also sat in a courtroom clip and heard the sentencing trial and heard the defendant ask the judge, is this a common law or a statutory court? And this old judge was getting ready to retire, and he thought about everything he said because he knew he had an audience out there that was listening, and he thought about it for a second, and he goes, why, it's a statutory court. But do you know what the court record reflects? It reflects that the defendant said that this is a statutory court, not that the judge said that. So, sure. You know, I came to the realization at that point, you know, that is, you know, it's their game. They're not going to let us use it against them.
So remedy can only come to you in the form of money. The maximum of law when it comes to money is that money in and of itself is nothingness. It's nihilism, right? If you actually say, I'll sell this land for money, well, then you've just lost something real in exchange for something fiction. So the only remedy that you can get is money. Some people are happy with that. Of course, that's mammon, right? You cannot have God and mammon. You must choose between the two. Your love of money, which is the belief in money, or your love of reality. So if you're in the Matrix, can you have remedy when you're stuck in the Matrix? Can you get out of the Matrix without someone pulling you out, right? That's the simile of
all right,
the
let me,
of Christ,
let me hold you over. We got to go to a break. Let me hold you over, Alan. Mark, stay on the line, and Francis in North Carolina, you guys will both be up next. Answer the question, totalitary, when we get back, or totally, all right? Scratch that totality, folks. That didn't sound right. Be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use
use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of.
Does that make me crazy, Clint? Does that make me crazy, Mike Herzog? You're broken away. I am back with my special guest, Clint Richardson. Now we've got callers on the line. Mark in Philadelphia, you'll be up next. France in North Carolina, you're after Mark. Alan, to complete, I don't remember who was talking. Was it Alan or was it you, Clint, that was answering these questions? Go ahead.
Oh, that guy with the dangling thing.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Hey, I've got just one more question, and I'll cede time to the other callers, because, like you said, the smartest callers, yeah, I believe that, and they've got a lot to add. One question, Cliff. Have I heard you say, is your book available now in a paper version? Because I don't care to read stuff on screens,
I would love to get it. It's free to download to anybody who wants it, and then I just asked if you want a paper copy of it. I just asked for a donation, and all the details are on the website. It's strawmanstory.info, and like I said, just download the book. It's a reference book. It teaches you the legal language, teaches the language of the Bible, teaches you about this type of stuff. It's all my research, you know, trying to pack it all into a couple couple of books in a series. But yeah, I just ask a donation, not for the book itself, but just to keep me working and keep me giving everything freely. Because that was my goal.
I'll find a way to get it, Clint. I'll get off here and then let the other callers get in. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, thanks, Al.
Absolutely. So, by the way, you know, one of the things that's going to be in my second book is a full and detailed topic of The Matrix, because I found the three books that The Matrix was actually based on. It's horrible plagiarization. Matrix in legal system actually means the protocol or first draft of a legal instrument from which all copies must be taken. Well, that's a description of your birth certificate. Matrix means womb, a place where anything is generated or formed. Well, that's your status now, isn't it? So, the womb, a mold.
All right, let's not get off and get too deep into this, because these callers have been waiting for a while.
Well,
go ahead.
So that is the matrix. Your birth certificate is your matrix. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Okay. All right, well, see, I already need to have you back again just to go into that topic. But with that being said, let's not keep Mark holding any further. Mark in Philadelphia, you're on with Michael and Clint. How you doing, buddy?
How's it going, guys? And thank you very much for receiving my call.
Okay.
I listened to you, Clint, before a few times, and I have to say this, that when you're with a co-host or a guest of a host, I think you articulate better. I'm getting more out of this than I have in previous times, and I know this stuff is deep, it's really articulate, and a lot of people can't like go there because they're you know, they got too many things going on. So, just a little background about me, where I was able to latch on to what. Go ahead.
Are you saying that when I do a lecture by myself that I sound like Charlie Brown's teacher?
No, he says he says he'd rather listen to paint dry. That's what he's saying. No, go ahead.
No. Here's the thing. It's like the space between the notes. It's when you're with someone else, it draws out something good, and between the two of you, something is articulated even beyond the words. And I'll just leave it at that. I'm able to embrace where you're coming from, maybe more so than some, because in this life, I happen to have been adopted. By the age of 21, I lost both families. Through drama, trauma, and tragedy. Okay, the first family, my parents were extremely intelligent, but they were poor. Okay, the second family, they were so intelligent, but they were enterprising and they were rich. But it didn't matter. I lost both of them. Okay, and so I was left with what? I was left with no references to guide my life, and I barely had a weaker sense of self because of my early childhood. I had been through a lot of trauma and drama. You know, it was very trying, and so
it's anyway, also very profitable. It's very profitable for the state. Don't forget that.
Yeah. So through those great losses, I was left with what? An empty space and a whole lot of questions, and nobody could answer because nobody had been through that level of experience that I've been through that I could find. And anyway, so who am I? Where am I on this planet? What does all this mean? Okay. Oh, money's the answer, you think? I don't think so. My second family was rich, okay? And what was missing was a semblance of an understanding of God and nature and these things. So, but I grew up in the Midwest, the belt buckle of the Bible Belt, to be a matter of fact, okay? Churches galore everywhere. I call them religions, and I'm not into religion. So, but I want to challenge you with something. You said something earlier. It was 9 months ago that I discovered some facts about my natural family on my father's side. I found out that my great-great-grandfather served in the Civil War. And I found out he was a prisoner of war. He was in the Battle of the Wilderness. And he was a prisoner of war in Andersonville, Georgia. For 11 months, he survived there. And what many historians consider the worst prison of the Civil War, because of the conditions of the prison. Out of 45,000 men that went through there, 13,000 died within weeks of entering the gates of the prison because of the conditions of the prison. That's pretty horrific. There is a dramatic
just the illness. Thing that happened in the German prison camps. The illnesses swept through and killed a lot of people.
Yeah. So here's what I'm bringing up, because something you said in the previous caller with Laura, I think, you said something about that the that all we carry across is the blood. Well, I'm going to challenge you on that, that all you carry across is the blood. Because in this life, I was very good in scholastics. I went to a small country school. We all knew each other. And so when it came time, I aced all the scholastic subjects pretty much. I really liked history, but I would prefer ancient history. Now, when it came time through those years to talk about the Civil War, I wanted to run out of the room. And my classmates would repeatedly wonder what was going on with me, and I'd say, I don't know, I just don't like it. It's the stupidest darn thing I've ever heard of, and I don't want to even talk about it. Now, I had no reference in this life to feel that way, but I'm going to tell you something. My great-great-grandfather's DNA reached through to me, and the memory of his horror that he went through, I think that's why I felt that way. Now, you might differ on that, but I think that there's something to that. Maybe I'm wrong.
And maybe genetically speaking, the epigenome would be a good example. You know, you have switches that go on and off that direct your behavior, et cetera, et cetera. So, no, I would agree with that. There is a spiritual connection, and it flows through the DNA that's passed upon you, and the blood flows through you.
Right. And so, well, I appreciate you acknowledging that. So, to me, when I discovered this heritage, which, by the way, I also discovered that my father and my grandfather were both in World War II, and not that going to war and being a an agent of the military forces is something to be remembered by, but I happen to also be a veteran myself, and I hope that it would mean something. I'm learning more and more that it means not a darn thing, especially after War is a Racket from what's his name. So you kind of like burst my bubble that I when I found my heritage. See, I look around, and the people and our families are being destroyed.
That's the purpose.
The ones that have family don't even really. I don't know if they really, really appreciate their heritage. I don't have that, and I didn't have that. And when I discovered it, it was incredibly grounding for me.
Let me explain something to you, okay? What's happening right now in the world is that everybody's being made into refugees. They started with the first world countries, and they turned everybody from people that are inhabiting the land, using the land, right, to national citizens. All right, so you have a very select group of people who go by their genealogy, their bloodline, their coat of arms. This is why you have the right to bear arms. That actually means your bloodline, your heraldry, not arms as in guns, which is, again, another subject. But the right to bear arms means to them, and the reason they put that in there is that they will always be able to bear or carry their family crest. That's what makes them private. That's what makes them be able to pass land. So the law itself, there's two forms of law. One that recognizes blood, and one that recognizes non-blood or attainder of blood, okay? So those who are recognized by their blood are the private citizens we're talking about. This is those fabled genealogies that we're talking about. Those who have had their blood corrupted by attainder. Now, you'll note that in the Constitution it says no bill of attainder shall ever be passed. That, again, protects them and their right to bear arms. But we volunteer to be United States citizens, and that's the hard part for people to accept. It's voluntary. This is a voluntary contract implied in agency that we accept this status from the United States, and what that does is it pulls us out. It makes us a refugee in our own land. Okay, our family's land has been stolen from us through this neo-feudal system that we call contractually United States citizenship. We're put into the United States. We're taken from our land, which is passed on by blood in immortality, which is what you're talking about, why you have those feelings, why some of us have that notion and some of us don't.
Okay.
So by the way, the reference there would be another reference would be the big Beatles song where he says he's a real nowhere man living in his nowhere land, making all. Right, is that what you're saying?
That's great. Let me end it on that point, Mark. I've got other callers on the line here. I've got to let you go because I've given you 10 minutes. But thank you so much for the call in. I appreciate that. With that, let's go to Francis in North Carolina. Francis, you're on with Michael and Clint. How are you?
Hello, fellas.
Hey.
The whole commentary that Clint has gone through is like a brainstorm, for that matter. So,
no kidding.
Hey, for someone as highly illogical as I am, it just made logical sense. It was ridiculous. But aside from that, one earlier caller that made the compliment that they did to the next callers in line, touche as far as the compliment goes. Now, my question to you, Clint, is, in all the things that you broke down in definition and how it applies to people here in the U.S. and so forth, ad nauseum, whatever terminology you wish to use and apply, or non-verbatim for that matter, how would that apply to people of indigenous Native American background and culture? I know I'm going to throw a major with that as a result of asking that question, but, you know.
No. There's, like I said, everything starts with a moment in time, right? This is why the calendar is so important. The Roman calendar is so important to these people. Why we're on this timeline, the year of our Lord, right? And they're on their year is 5778, which is called Anno Mundi, the year of the creation of the earth, right? So the Jewish calendar or the Anno Mundi calendar, they're on a different timeline. They started this timeline starting at zero back in 3770 whatever. Right, so we're on two different timelines. This is very important to understand because we're basically history. We're dead. We're in a fictional timeline that they created, and that's very difficult to. I wrote a blog about it. It's on my blog currently, like the second one down. But you have to understand that there is no people. And this is why the Bible says don't respect these things, because a people can only exist once that people is declared. There are no Indians, there are no Native Americans, because America was announced at some point in time. It did not exist before that. Before that, it was simply a creation of God. Well, whatever your religious background is, doesn't matter. It's just nature itself. Right? So everything starts with an epoch, a moment in time that defines something. We say, I'm an American. Well, Americans didn't exist before 1770. I mean, there was no such thing. There was no such thing as an Englishman. There was no such thing as a caveman. There was, you know, at some point, these things were established in a false artificial time. Now, the Bible says, stay timeless, have no beginning and no end. And that's the difference. You see, a legal entity is a mortal entity. It has a beginning, a birth certificate, and has an ending, a death certificate. The trick is, you don't have to physically die, just like you don't have to physically die to get a death certificate, is my point. The whole solution to this thing, in the end, is simply a death certificate, because what that means is that you're putting an end to contract. It's called the execution of the contract. Okay, what the reason Indians, the Native American Indians, have so many problems is because they agreed to become a nation. They were foolish enough, their leaders were paid off, whatever, to become a nation. A nation falls under the law of nations. You accepted this concept of legalism, and you stopped being a tribe, and you became a nation. And therefore, you fell under the international law, and the United States had all justification, just like they had justification in the Civil War, to destroy you. Civil War wasn't about slavery. It was about preserving the Union. The war against the Indians wasn't about anything but preserving the and adding on to the land holdings of the United States. Right? So...
Well, Clint, there was a bit of foolishness, a little bit of foolishness on the part of indigenous Native Americans, because at that time they were being offered this, that, or whatever have you in exchange for their, saying, okay, if you become a citizen of this or whatever, then you get this, and
right,
so forth.
Right.
And
so in other words, you give up your God-given natural rights of nature, and you accept political, artificial ones created by man, and therefore you're under contract.
Dangled a carrot in front of you. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Francis.
But now, that does not mean that all indigenous Native Americans went for that, because they actually saw what was being done. So at least a lot of them did not fall for that trap, which is very good for them, but...
There's two things that we're talking about, and they're actually not the same thing. We're talking about today, first of all, the notion of being truly a follower of the Bible or the law of nature as it's written in the Bible, and for that matter in other sources. But you're not supposed to take any other sources according to the Bible. So since that's the law, that's what you go by, right? So you have that. Then there's this notion of private and public, okay? Public is what we are. Private is what they are, okay? They are the landholders under a private law, which we would call the state law, their own system. They're not United States citizens. And basically, they are the ones that Congress represents. Now, my whole thing here is the United States is essentially a contractual feudal system. Any nation is basically a feudal system that you contract into. And because of that, they have the right to take all the land. I'm saying that by giving up United States citizenship, you will revert to what you originally were born or naturally born into, which is to be a state. And at that point, you can inherit land. You can go back and take what's been stolen as the estate of your former family. And at that point, then you might be able to reestablish the republics and reestablish the United States and take away its power. But until you take the land back itself, the territory, and stop being a foreigner in there, nothing is ever going to change.
Right. Here, as most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com. Educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
All right, folks. folks. We're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, with my special guest, Clint Richardson. We only got a few minutes left. I've still got Francis in North Carolina on the line. Francis, let's close this out here, and then going to close this show out with one particular subject. Go ahead.
Let me just say one just final sentence here. What I'm trying to tell you all is that you're not Americans. You're foreigners. America is the land. The nation is Washington, D.C., and that jurisdiction spreads all over the public lands that are claimed by that jurisdiction. You're not Americans. You're not acting as Americans. You're not in the republics because you're foreigners. If you want to, as the caller asked before, if you want remedy, you're not going to find it in the system that you're stuck in because it's a prison for your mind. If you want the true remedy is to take back the land. Stop being public citizens of the United States. Get rid of that disability and go back to being private citizens of the state, which means you're going back to the actual land. You're no longer a U.S. citizen. You're a private state citizen who has the right of blood, but being born here, to be a landholder. If you want to fix the nation, if you want to reestablish the republics, as they say, the very title of this radio station, you need to go back to the land and quit being like ghosts floating over it in commerce. That's my final message.
Any final thought, Francis?
Well, fellas, the only thing I wanted to say was a moment ago was that I'm out of here and later, and thanks so much. Take it easy.
She's out of here.
Oh, okay. I thought she had another thought.
The only way, for instance, we could help Native American people who probably would not be able to show their blood inheritance rights, et cetera, is to take back the land, right? Give it back to them. See, I want to start a monastery on my land. I want to start a place where people can go learn and become private landholders themselves. But to do that, you have to be self-governing. You have to know the Bible law, and you have to know state law, private law. You have to understand trust. You have to understand agency. You have to understand all these things so you don't get pulled back in to this system that is necessary to govern men who cannot govern themselves. And the only way you're going to govern yourselves is to become private or to become a sojourner under the law of nature, basically. Stick.
What happened to that? Was that me or was that you? No, you just cut out on my end, but anyway. Okay, well, listen, Clint, I want to thank you so much for coming on today, spending 2 hours of your valuable time in the middle of writing what evidently is your second book. And, yes, I look forward, not only myself, but also I'm sure my listening audience looks forward to having you up again. So with that being said, thank you again so much, and look forward to hearing from you, because I'm going to go back in here and see if I can make my way through this. Strawmanstory.info, that is his website, folks. Any closing thoughts? Go ahead, Clint. Anything else?
I all this stuff that I've talked about is primarily sourced. It's all in the book. Well, most of it's in book one. Some of it's in book two, which I haven't released yet. But it's all there. I set out to figure out how things worked. Didn't care about my ego. Didn't care if it hurt me, or I just wanted to know the truth. And that's what I put in this book, is the truth.
All right. Well, again, thanks so much for being on the air with me today. You'll be up again. Folks, that's it for today. I hope you enjoyed today's program. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. I'll see you same time, same station tomorrow with another show. Stick around. More to come. Good day.
A price, and I'll keep paying.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.